This is Sharon Wolf, a reporter for KMUD News. I usually bring you stories about Rio Dell, but this is my own family story, and I offer it to hopefully help others avoid some of the experiences that we've had. This is the first in a series of segments, so stay tuned to KMUD. Like so many families, Alzheimer's runs in my family. I know of at least three generations of Bertha women who developed Alzheimer's, and my mom, Barbara, is the most recent. Mom's memory's been slipping for years now, but the pandemic and the necessary isolation of vulnerable adults took its toll and accelerated her decline rapidly. What the family didn't see coming was that her husband, Ron, my stepdad of 29 years, was also losing his mental faculties in the background. Ron is an extremely quiet person who never talks about himself, ever, and especially not the increasingly delusional thinking that he was experiencing. Our family had experience with Alzheimer's and memory loss, but the dementia and the paranoia is scary, and anyone who has watched a loved one experiencing this knows exactly what I'm talking about. Fortunately, Mom and Ron had followed all the advice that they give adults, such as create a will, designate your wishes for the time when you may not be able to speak for yourself, and designate who you want to help you later on if it becomes necessary. They did all of that. And every single family member that was involved in their lives knew exactly what their wishes were because they'd clearly documented it and they'd shared it with everyone. When it became necessary to establish a legal conservatorship to protect Mom and Ron, it was clear what their wishes were. I applied to be the conservator since I lived 12 miles away and had been their primary family support since they moved to Fortuna in 2017 to be closer to me as Mom's memory was declining. There is a lot more to the story of how we got to the conservatorship petition, and I'll be reporting more in future segments. However, this report is a cautionary tale for those who are trying their best to help their loved ones. The conservatorship petition had to be filed in pro per, which means we had to represent ourselves, no attorney. I had called the few law firms in the area that handle this area of the law, and no one could even schedule a virtual meeting with us to discuss taking the case for months due to COVID-related staffing shortages and a backlog of cases that would choke a horse. Mom and Ron didn't have months to wait. In my day job, I'm a longtime county employee who has over 20 years' experience filling out paperwork, so I just tackled the job myself. We had clear documentation of the severity of the situation, the need for the conservatorship, and the documented wishes of Mom and Ron in their long-standing wills and living trust. This should have been a pretty straightforward case, in my opinion, but if it had turned out that way, then I wouldn't be speaking to you now. As part of a conservatorship petition, a third-party court investigator is assigned to look at the petition and interview the parties before submitting a report and recommendations to the probate judge. The investigator interviewed both Mom and Ron over Zoom and advise them both of their rights, which includes the right to be represented by counsel in order to protect their civil rights. A conservatorship, after all, can curtail or remove basic civil rights, so it is incredibly important to make sure that the process set out by law is followed and the rights of vulnerable adults are protected. Both Mom and Ron asked to be represented by counsel, which was documented in the court report in addition to the recommendation to approve my petition. For whatever reason, it was never done by the Humboldt County Superior Court Probate Division. There are two types of conservatorships in California, a Lanterman Petras Short or LPS conservatorship and a probate conservatorship. In a LPS conservatorship, the individual shall be appointed representation, but in a basic probate conservatorship like this, the court may appoint counsel. However, if a proposed conservatee requests representation, then the court is supposed to appoint one, such as the public defender's office. But again, this was never done for Mom and Ron. They had no one, other than myself, trying to protect them and their rights. An objection to my petition was filed by the previously entirely unknown nephew of Ron, who is my mom's fifth husband. Royce Mendonca is the son of Ron's sister. But other than that, he was, and he is, a complete stranger to Mom and Mom's entire family. There's an interesting story about why Ron's family was so entirely estranged and completely absent in his life for the last 29 years, which we only discovered as part of this saga. But suffice it to say, this relative is a total stranger to Mom and her family. But that doesn't matter in Humboldt County if you can afford an attorney who is willing to do what was done in this case. First of all, let me say that all of the court case records that are public records are being posted online at my website, www.riodeltimes.com. All of the documentation submitted will be posted as a cautionary tale and as a teaching tool for families trying to navigate the probate court system without benefit of a high-priced attorney. Local attorney Chris Johnson Hamer, a senior partner with Stokes, Hamer, Kirk, and Eads in Arcata, is, according to her biography, an expert in elder financial abuse matters, as well as handling probate cases of decedents' estate and real property contracts in Humboldt County. Ms. Hamer created a legal nomination document, which is a legal paper that gave custody of my mom and her estate to her client, Roland Royce Mendonca Jr., which was in direct opposition to mom's will, her living trust, and what she had told the court investigator in July. Ms. Hamer wrote this legal document and secured my mom's signature on it despite her Alzheimer's diagnosis and a capacity declaration that was on file with the court already. They got mom's signature on that paper after the Mendoncas came and removed her from her Fortuna home days before the first hearing. She was kept in Citrus Heights with Ron's sister for a month with no contact allowed with her own family before they got her to sign that form. Ms. Hamer submitted the legal paper signed by an Alzheimer's patient along with a form called a GC-335 Capacity Declaration. That's the judicial counsel form that a doctor or a psychologist must complete to declare a person legally incapacitated, and one was already on file for Mom from her doctors at Open Door in Fortuna. The one submitted by Ms. Hamer, however, was signed by a nurse practitioner, Heather Allen of Iris Health Medical Group, without the required countersignature of a physician or a psychologist. The form itself clearly says who has the legal authority to sign it for the courts, but Ms. Hamer altered the form or allowed it to be altered by others and then submitted it under penalty of perjury. They added a checkbox for nurse practitioner as if they had statutory authority to sign it independently, which they don't. In most jurisdictions in California, this would be a pretty clear case of elder financial fraud and undue influence. It would raise fire alarms, and it most definitely should. The documentation that was created looked good on its face, and that was the point. It couldn't stand up to basic scrutiny, but obviously Ms. Hamer didn't anticipate the slightest amount of pushback here. Unfortunately, Judge Timothy Canning knowingly accepted those documents as the controlling documents, and he gave the custody of my mom and her estate to the previously unknown nephew of her fifth husband. I say knowingly because I had pointed out all of this information in the papers that I had filed, which were entirely ignored. In his ruling and order, which is posted online, he didn't even acknowledge the existence of the wills or the trust or the financial documents that showed their wishes and intents clearly. In essence, he invalidated their wills without even acknowledging that they existed. I would like to hope that if the court had assigned counsel for Mom and Ron as they had clearly requested and is their right, then maybe the judge might have listened to another attorney pointing out all of these exact same points. Unfortunately, I was in pro per, and in the Humboldt County Courthouse, you might as well be invisible if you're not represented by one of the attorneys steeped in the insular network of the courthouse. And that's the warning here to others trying to help their loved ones. It is still worth it to make sure you and your loved ones have a will that clearly spells out your wishes. Make sure your will is available to your family when it's needed. Communicate all of your wishes clearly to your loved ones so they know what you want. What do people need to know about your wishes if the time comes when you can't tell them? Do all of these things, because in other jurisdictions, it would have mattered, and it's still worth your time. This doesn't only happen to people with money either, so don't think you're safe from predatory relatives. Mom and Ron don't have much to speak of. They have enough to not qualify for any forms of assistance, but not enough to be comfortable, and especially not considering the long-term care that they both need. But that didn't matter either. I'll be doing a series of reports on the issues of conservatorships and the experiences we've had. Hopefully someone can learn from what happened here. I've spoken to a number of people throughout Humboldt County over the course of this saga, and I'll say I have encountered tremendous compassion and empathy from people. They all have their own family experiences with Alzheimer's or dementia. No one wants to think that this can happen to them or their loved ones, but I'm here to tell you that it can. And it will happen to you if Humboldt County doesn't begin to address the culture of the courthouse that allows for the rubber stamping of fraudulent paperwork like what we've seen in this case. If the courthouse and the judges that are charged with being the final line of protection for vulnerable adults refuse to do their job, who will do it? As the county begins the race for a new district attorney, this would be a really good question for a candidate to address head-on. I look forward to speaking with you again in a future report. In the meantime, the documentation that I've referred to is all posted at theriodeltimes.com as their public records. This has been Sharon Wolf reporting for KMUN Radio.